Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. It has been a long week since we have done a recording, but we are here to catch you up on all of the juicy details that had occurred over the past week of football. I am Ben, as always, and this is Will.
Yurt.
And I don't know about you, sir, but I am ready to kick it off with talking about Thanksgiving football.
Let's get it, sir. I want to go ahead and say, before you start in with your Packers, honestly, I don't have too much bad to say about them in this game. They actually performed pretty well, and I'm not going to down talk Love. Love did his absolute thing, and he did it better than Goff ever could, in my opinion. So I'm going to let you go off about them, but I want to go ahead and give the kudos to the Packers when I can. And okay, this was one of those games.
Hey, I'll take it. Green Bay won. It was a close game. You know, it wasn't exactly some crazy widespread thing. It was 31-24, you know, not a bad performance from either team. However, Green Bay most definitely came to play. Jordan Love, 234 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. This is one of those games that he needed to get under him to be able to withstand the pressure, to be able to throw the ball, make some tough throws, make some deep throws, be able to stand in the pocket, just do his thing. And he did really well. Josh Jacobs did not find the end zone. However, he most certainly was a contributing factor on the offense. Coming off of an injury, he looked pretty well, 17-83. Dontavian Wicks. Now listen, I love the receiving core in Green Bay to an extent.
I want to go with saying every single game that we're about to go over, guys, I have a one-off touchdown parlay for it. Every single one. And I say that because the Tavion Wicks messed me up in this game. I had Luke Musgrave to get a touchdown, and he was so close to getting that one. And he gave it to Wicks. Love gave it to Wicks for that second touchdown, and it killed me out. That was solid $1,600. And we're going to go over that, but that was a solid $1,600 that got blown because Musgrave didn't get in that end zone.
Honestly, the main receivers all got in the end zone. Watson got one. Dobbs got one. Wicks got two. Overall, I can't complain. You know, if we had Tucker Kraft out there, we'd probably have thrown at least one or two more. I'm almost to that point that I believe he would have been a difference maker. We could have got maybe another touchdown. Christian Watson did struggle with getting catches. He was highly covered the entire game. A lot of balls were underthrown, and there were a few that were overthrown to him. He is not in rhythm with Jordan Love. But let me tell you, out of the 4 catches, he got 80 yards and a touchdown. That boy had a 51-yarder. So 51 out of those 80 were on one play. But
I want to say that the Lions were not slouches in this game either.
They were not. Their defense was mean, brutal, and played good coverage. But the problem that they ran into was they were not sacking Jordan Love. 0 sacks. The offensive line did its thing. Jordan Love stayed calm. He stayed poised. He did exactly what he needed to do. I will say we did have a problem. We did have 2 fumbles. Thankfully, we did not lose them. But, for example, Jordan Love fumbled. It was a play that went a little bit wrong, and he recovered his own fumble. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I can't complain for what we did. Our defense was absolutely dominant. Micah Parsons had 2.5 sacks.
Like I said, I liked it. I liked the performance from the Packers. The Lions, on the other hand, I don't want to say that they played horribly. I will say that there was some questionable play calls out there.
Most definitely.
Some very questionable play calls. It's like, I don't get it. Like, if you're sitting at home and you're watching it, I guess it's different. But, like, how do you not realize that they're stopping the run? How do you not realize that they're covering this guy a little bit tougher, so maybe you should cut out a little bit to a different person? Like, it's just certain things that a lot of these teams do on play calling wise is just so questionable to me. And I think that's a large reason why the Lions lost this game.
Well, let me tell you another very important thing that the Lions had happen to them in a bad way. St. Brown, he got hurt, out for the game. And that was early.
They have other receivers that can.
They do, but it's like if we talk about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You take out Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, in this case, Jameson Williams. He had a phenomenal game, by the way. Jameson Williams, 7 for 144 yards and a tutty. Absolutely baller out there. He was making hard catches. I mean, he was giving it his all. And for what it's worth, the Lions did not lose heart. The only time that they lost heart was at the end of the game. That was when they just kind of, they played to the last second, of course. You know, they didn't quit, but they gave up.
They knew that the game was over.
Yeah, they lost the momentum. Like,
there was no point. And like I said, the Lions did well. There was just some questionable stuff going on. And the Lions is another one of those teams I'd like to be a fly on the wall to see what's actually going on. Because this isn't the Lions that we saw last year. The dominance.
This isn't the early season Lions that we've seen either.
Yeah, like I was going to say, there's no, like, this isn't the earlier Lions that we were seeing this season either. This is literally like we're seeing a decline in these teams. And I'd love to know why. Because even the Bills, even though the Bills had a nice win this week,
Sean McDermott.
Even though the Bills had a nice win this week, it's like, what's going on to where the most dominant teams from last year or at the beginning of the year are now crumbling? Like, they're crumbling up under weight or up under pressure. Like, that's why we're not going to see the teams that we saw last year. The teams that we saw last year are doing horrible, right? The Chiefs, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Bills. Like, you can list them all out. All of them. None of them are doing well. The Lions. I was going to say the Packers, but the Packers are actually doing better than what they did last year, in my opinion.
Well, there were some things that we had go really right. And I don't want to get into it too terribly much. But one of the things that worked well for us was we were 6 of 12 on third downs and 3 of 3 on fourth down. We went for it on fourth down 3 times and got it all 3 times. Jordan Love was very good on third and fourth downs. He was 7 of 11 for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. So 2 of his 4 touchdowns were kind of like a clutch type play. Questionable, in fact, when some of the times we went on a fourth down, I was mind boggled. And then we were passing it on like a fourth and short. It turned into a touchdown. But still, like, I was a little iffy on that, but at the end of the day, it was really just about when we needed it most, we had the consistency to get it done. Jared Goff got sacked 3 times. They lost St. Brown. Jameson Williams had himself actually his best game as a pro player, by the way. But, I mean, like, Goff, he hit 15 consecutive passes at one point, right? Like, the dude did everything he could, but they couldn't get it done when it mattered the most. The fourth downs in the third and the fourth quarters really just did not help them. They just couldn't get it done. So the Packers swept them. Micah Parsons had himself a game. And at the end of the day, with the two games that the Packers have played against the Lions this year, Jordan Love has 6 touchdowns, no giveaways, and he has not been sacked a single time by the Lions this year. So
I'll give them their props for this game, but we're not gonna keep.
We're gonna move along to probably maybe even the more interesting game of the early window on Thanksgiving. And that is the Chiefs.
And by the way, you guys, if you follow me on any of my pages, you know, we called all of these games for Thanksgiving and Black Friday correctly. $5 won about $300. If you put more, then you put more. But I won about $300 off of this slate. So off of this holiday slate.
So there you go, y'all. You might get yourself a win if you follow him.
All the underdogs won for this slate. So I love to see it. The Cowboys and the Chiefs. That was a great game, by the way.
That was a slugfest.
They went toe-to-toe, back-to-back. And once again, this was another game where I got screwed over by one touchdown. I didn't lose money this weekend, so I'm not gonna go too crazy. But oh my gosh, literally, I had everybody, and the only person I needed was George Pickens. George Pickens, and they had the nerve to go to that man for a 2-point conversion after he dropped the touchdown. Like, ugh, I can't.
So the thing that I really say it over and over again, and I'll never stop saying it, games are won in the second half. This is a game where Dallas consistently scored every quarter. No matter what, they still scored. But the Chiefs did not. They put up 14 in the first quarter, then they were silent in the second and the third quarter. They were down going into the fourth quarter. They were down 20-14. Not a crazy, crazy lead for Dallas, but they are down 20-14. And Dallas wasn't a slouch in the fourth quarter either. They put up 11 points, and that's how they got the win, right? But like, games are won in the second half. Dallas did what they had to do to win. They stayed quiet.
I'll tell you exactly what they did. They kept the ball away from the Chiefs when it mattered the most.
But they did give up 14 points. Not nearly cost.
Hold on, wait. Because when it mattered the most is what I'm saying. In the fourth quarter, the Chiefs had ample opportunity to score more than those two touchdowns that they had. They just couldn't. Dallas kept the ball away. They played the way that they could, even though the Chiefs were going out for blood during that fourth quarter, as they always do. We all know the Chiefs, they start off slow and end off very nicely. And they tried to do the exact same thing, and Dallas didn't let that happen.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Once again, Dallas is an impressive team when they actually put forth the effort. But you can tell when they're not actually trying.
So one of the things that I would be curious on your opinion on, Dallas is in a very unique position right now to turn around their season. They were starting to fall off pretty bad. They got CeeDee Lamb back and things changed. They've really started ramping up their wins. They've started putting out the points. So my question to you is, do you think that Dallas is putting themselves in a position to get themselves into the postseason?
Oh, they're definitely making an argument for it. Like, they're making a fight for it. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing them if they keep this performance up, because Dallas is one of those teams that has – like elite players on them, like to where there's no reason why they shouldn't be scoring touchdowns all over people's heads, just like the Rams and the Seahawks. Dallas has that type of lineup. They just don't perform consistently. And that's what we need out of Dallas if they actually want to be in the postseason.
I could agree with that. I think one of the things when I'm looking at the Cowboys is they've definitely made some improvements throughout the season, and they are giving a reason to believe that they are a potential, you know, playoff team. They've got good team chemistry built. And honestly, they've turned their defense around. In the first five of their first eight games, they allowed at least 30 points in five of their first eight, while giving up 40 in two of those. So they had a rough defense. And the last three games, they've only given up 65 points. It's a little over 20 points a game. So they've dropped drastically what they're allowing and what they're giving up to their opponents. And I think a lot of that is because of Quinnen Williams, of course. Logan Wilson's doing all right, too. They got Overshawn back, Wilson. They got Hooker back out there. Brandon Aubrey's had a really good leg this year. I mean, honestly, I can't say a lot of bad about him. And honestly, Brian Schottenheimer, I think, is a big reason for it. He's kept the team afloat. They were down to a 3-5-1 record. And I mean, they even had a tragic death from one of their defensive players, Marshawn Nyland. It's a lot to overcome. And honestly, I think they're playing with a totally different mentality. And I think that's where the hope is for them, is that while they have a very, very, very narrow margin for error at this point, because the Eagles are still the top team, they do have a reason to have hope this year. And if they could continue to play like they are now, I don't see necessarily why they couldn't make a deep run into the playoffs. I don't know if it's enough to get them to the Super Bowl. But comparatively, on the flip side of this, the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are on their way out the door this year. I mean, obviously, the Broncos are completely dominating that entire division. And they don't look to be slowing down for any reason whatsoever. But at the end of the day,
we're definitely going to get to the Broncos. But what I'm going to say about the Chiefs is, I mean, we saw the downfall coming. A little bit of the wind let out of their sails when they took their loss in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, it was well-deserved. They needed to come up off of their high horse, because last year's performance was not a great performance. I don't care what nobody says about their record. I could care less about the numbers. It's why we have a show. What I'm telling y'all is the Chiefs did not perform well last year. And this year is actually more, their record shows a little bit more of what they actually been doing, which is they've been fumbling the bag here a little bit. And I keep saying this about all of these teams. The way that you're winning matters. I don't care how you want to flip it, turn it. Oh, well, we still won the game. The way that you win matters, because once you go up against a team that sees all of your faults, you're going to fall every time. It was bound to happen. I told anybody who was anybody to drop whatever money you wanted to on the Eagles to win. They were underdogs all the way up until game day. You could have won any type of money that you wanted, because the Eagles were bound to win. None of the stuff that the Chiefs keep doing is sustainable. Last 2 minutes of the game and they have to drive it down the field to get a touchdown. Cool, it can happen, and it's going to happen more times than it's not. But when it doesn't happen, y'all are going to drop those games. It's just how that works. Well, and when it comes to the Cowboys did exactly what they were supposed to do. When Mahomes started trying to make those final drives, it was too little, too late.
I agree. Mahomes had a phenomenal game, but at the end of the day, your defense has to do their job. You can't throw four touchdowns and no interceptions and your defense not do what they need to do. It just doesn't work that way. The Chiefs are potentially about to be eliminated from the pursuit of a 10th consecutive division title. As they are at 1-3 chance right now of making it to the postseason, depending on what metrics you go based off of, but the general consensus is 1-3. And that is partly in thanks to the Bills beating the Steelers in an incredibly brutal fashion, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers got a broken nose out of it. So, I mean, I don't think I need to say how brutal it is. It's just pretty obvious. Andy Reid, I don't know if you heard what he had to say about this game, but it kind of made me laugh a little bit. I'm going to quote him. Andy Reid specifically said, "If you're coming to me," and this was on Monday, "we're going to go after you every game, and that's how we roll." Okay, that's cool. "We're going to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game."
Whoa.
That's something, you know? Oh, but that's the attitude we're coming in with, and then you let the chips fall where they may. That was said by Andy Reid today.
Once again, that pause on every level, but
indeed.
I like the attitude that you're coming with. I really do. It's just your play style you get away with something for so long, and then you stop getting away with it. That's just how that works. And when it comes down to it, they were bound to fall. And the Cowboys, if they keep this up, they are bound to rise very, very, very quickly. That duo that they have in the backfield with CD and Pickens is elite. I love to see them working together.
They both play aggressive. You never know.
Exactly. And it's just so elite the way that they play together. Back CD Pickens. And then you got Javonte Williams, who can run it up the gut at any moment. I like the Cowboys. I just love to see the Cowboys perform on a consistent basis. Because if they do, we're talking about a team that won't be able to get stopped.
I agree.
Moving on.
Indeed. Let's get into this Thursday
night.
My
favorite game.
Yeah.
My favorite game of the night. I'm going to take it over. Because
I just want to preface this real fast. This game, in my opinion, did not go the way that I thought it would, even with Joe Burrow being back.
All the way down to the last play call, sir. I knew this game was going to go exactly how it did.
Well, you take this one, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and finish your thought process, but I called it all the way down to the last little touchdown.
To be clear, my view on this game wasn't that the Bengals were the dominant team. It was that the Ravens were just pitiful. Lamar Jackson was horrible. And I don't like knocking Lamar, but my boy, what are you doing? Zero touchdowns, one interception. Derrick Henry got one little measly touchdown.
Luck of the draw, by the way. Because they didn't let that man move for the rest of the game.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a lucky touchdown that he got. He broke out for that 28 yards, and he wasn't supposed to. But let me go ahead and get into this.
Yes.
Joe Burrow is back. And I don't know if you remember this, sir. I said at the beginning of the year with Burrow, Pickens, and T. Higgins. I mean, not Pickens. T. Higgins and Chase. That is a trio that I want to see every Sunday. Every Sunday, no matter what, I want to watch the Bengals. They have such a dominant core on offense that even when their defense slips up, you know that they can get that touchdown right back. You see what I'm saying? And in this game, first off, I've been saying all year, the Ravens are pathetic. They are actually down bad right now. Even though they have arguably one of the better lineups in the league when it comes to offense and defense.
Core. That receiving core is their problem.
Yeah, I get it. I completely understand where their faults lie. I think everybody understands where their faults lie at this point. You stop the run, you stop the Ravens, just like the Eagles. You stop the run, they're not going to be able to do anything else effective. But when we're talking about the Bengals have what it takes to go so far. If Joe Burrow hadn't got injured at the beginning of the year, these are the types of games that we would have been seeing out of the Bengals all year. guaranteed. I had been looking at the Bengals all last year and what they did at the end of last year and coming into this year, complete dominations over teams that look lost when they're out there with them.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say in the defense of the Ravens here is, well, it's not in defense of the Ravens. It's just, it wasn't all offense for the Bengals. Yes, they scored a lot, but let's be clear. Baltimore fumbled the ball and lost it four times, two of which was on Lamar. That defense gave the Bengals a breath of fresh air. And that's how this game, I believe, in my opinion, that's how this game turned out the way that it did. Their defense won them this game because it gave them chance after chance after chance to score. And let's be clear, outside of the third quarter, they were in single digits every quarter, 3, 9, and 6. First, second, and third quarter. Not that.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Exceptional. No crazy Joe Burrow did a lot. No, I mean, he did enough. Him and Chase Brown. I mean, Chase Brown's a good running back, by the way. But I don't agree entirely like that this is a scary thing to look at because Joe Burrow, he just came back. He did good, but like he's rested. He's rested.
Once again, he does, I'm not saying that they did like above and beyond, but first off, this was my favorite game of the day for that day. This was my favorite game of the day because Joe Burrow came back, first off, but also because we actually got to see the Bengals perform at one of their highest potentials. And I'm not saying that they can do this to every team successfully without ever dropping. But this is exactly what you would see out of the Bengals this year if they had had Joe Burrow at the helm. Defenses look lost. And then the Bengals defense can always come up and make a play to make sure that the other team doesn't do anything. So when I'm looking at this whole picture of this game, yes, we can always say that the Ravens are abysmal this year. But I'm pretty sure that this is going to happen for the rest of the year on the Bengals side. As long as Joe Burrow's at the helm, and I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is the end-all, be-all, but when you don't have all your pieces, I say this all the time as well, when you don't have all your pieces, everything's not going to click. And Joe Burrow was that missing piece for them.
I agree. Where do you think Joe Flacco goes now?
He stays on the bench and rides out this next year. I mean, he doesn't have anything really to do. Maybe he goes to another team. Of course, there's a lot of teams that need a backup, sir. But does he really want to go to those teams?
Honestly, if he wants to play, I would. I could think of a
few
teams.
Of course, if it's just him wanting to play. But me personally, I'd sit, cash out a check. He has nothing to do. I mean, what? There's only a few weeks left in this season.
Well, this year, but I'm thinking like next year. Do you think what do you think the rest of Joe Flacco's career looks like? I think at this point, especially should the Bengals somehow creep up and get a playoff run, which I'm not even entirely positive that could happen at this point. Although the Steelers losing that game might help, and then beating the Ravens might give them a little bit of breathing room. I don't think it's going to happen. But do you think Joe Flacco would be okay with sitting on the bench next year, or do you think he goes somewhere else that needs a quarterback? I think there's a few teams that could use one. And right now, I think the, one team he hasn't been to and a team that loves backup quarterbacks going elite, the Minnesota Vikings. But I don't know about you. I think we should move on to the last of the Thanksgiving game series, that Friday, Black Friday football. What about you?
Let's get it, sir. Another team that I love. By the way, I believe it was Chase Brown that I lost that parlay I think it was Bateman. But either way, I lost my parlay in that one, another 1,600.
Yikes.
All day was a touchdown fiasco for me, sir. But Caleb Brown. Now, let me go ahead and say this. I mean, Caleb Williams.
I was about to say what?
Yeah, you know what I mean, sir.
For the record, that was a terrible performance by him.
I'm not going to say that it was great. The Eagles
game won that game.
The Eagles have no answer for a team that has fight. None whatsoever. Caleb Williams and the Bears have so much fight in them to where even if Caleb Williams has a game like he did on Friday, they still got a running back that can do damage. And when the running back's not doing too much, Caleb Williams is willing to step up to the plate. Like, I love the way that the Bears play, bro. And there's nothing in my head told me that they were going to lose this game.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I mean, the only bright spot for the Eagles was A.J. Brown. For the record, I agree entirely with the issues he's had with them about not getting the looks. He should have been getting these looks much earlier in the year. The boy had two touchdowns, 10 for 132 and two touchdowns, and crazy stat line. Whenever Jalen Hurts started throwing towards him, their game started changing. Unfortunately, they still can't get out of the run-first mentality.
As soon as they get a good pass going, they go right back to Saquon Barkley. Like that was the answer or something. No! Keep passing!
The one thing that I will say, they did not run the ball a lot this game. They only ran 17 times between Barkley and Hurts.
Sir, did you watch the game? Because I know exactly why they stopped running the ball.
Yeah,
because
they fell behind.
Yeah. Barkley had they couldn't let Barkley move. I think Barkley had one good run play during the first half. After that, they shut all of that down. So yeah. Jalen Hurts started using that little weak arm that he got.
And he found that A.J. Brown can catch the ball.
Exactly. And that's because at first he was only going to Devontae. He still wasn't looking for A.J.
That's part of the problem.
As soon as he got out there to A.J., they finally got them something on the board. My whole issue with the Eagles is their run game. Yep. Saquon, even though he had a great year last year, once again, there can't be just one. You can't be a one-trick pony and be a GOAT team. That's not how that works. The Chiefs and Mahomes were elite on multiple levels, which is why they were so elite for so many years. The Eagles don't have that. The Eagles have that. Okay, let me run real quick. Okay, if they finally stop the run, we'll finally start passing. But they take an entire half to start doing that.
They do, and the problem is their defense, too. Their defense is pretty rough, man. They're one of the worst teams in the league in sacks. Their interception, they're the bottom half. They don't do a lot with forced fumbles. I mean, they don't convert a ton of turnovers. They really don't. I mean, Caleb Williams threw an interception, but at the end of the day, man, like, they've only got 8 on the year, you know, and Chicago is at number 1, ironically enough. And they have 17. Like, I mean, we're talking about a totally different spectrum here when it comes to what they can do. They have 24 sacks on the year, which puts them at 24th in the league, compared to the number one in Denver with 51. And I'm not saying, like, okay, every team has to compare to, like, the number ones. But at the end of the day, like, when you're not getting the turnovers that you need and you're not pressuring the quarterback and getting sacks, you're making it. You're not making a claim or trying to give any validity to what you are as a team, especially for the reigning Super Bowl champs. They are not going to win this year. If they somehow win, I would be completely shocked. They will have to have a miracle turnaround in the next couple of weeks for me, even if they wind up securing the division and winning in the division, because let's face it, the Giants and the Commanders are irrelevant. The Giants, in fact, are completely eliminated from the playoffs. But the Cowboys are still behind, so they're probably not going to win that division. They can't afford to even lose one game if they want to have a shot at that. And then the Eagles would still have to drop probably one or two. But the Eagles
are
not
less about the Eagles. Like I said,
I just want to say
nothing to be actually talking about when we're talking about this game, other than how the Bears actually dominated on the Eagles, a previous Super Bowl team. Yes, they did.
They
dominated this team.
That wasn't a dominant game. The only reason that they had any good success is because of Swift and Monagai. They were able to get two rushing touchdowns. If the Eagles would have locked them up on,
I'm just saying, if this would have been the other way around, we would have just said, "Oh, well, it was only because Hurts and Saquon." But it would have been considered a domination, right? I'm not saying that Caleb Williams did everything that he was supposed to do, but the Bears as a whole dominated over the Eagles. They stopped the run game. They got to Hurts. They made the plays where it mattered. Their run game was elite. What would we call a domination?
I think the only thing that I have is that the domination aspect was not really a thing until the fourth quarter. And the Eagles did not go down without a fight. This was not a dominant win. This was a good win, but
I didn't see fight. I don't know about you. I didn't see fight.
They didn't put up a big fight because at the end of the day, we could go round and round on this one, but Hurts, as we both said, he can't throw. He got a noodle for an arm. So that's the reason there was no fight, except A.J. Brown saved him. A.J. Brown is the difference maker for the Eagles. I'm going to end my rant on that with them. A.J. Brown, get Devonta Smith over on the sideline. Let him eat on the sideline a little bit. Let him be humbled a little bit. Because right now, him and Hurts, that was the only connection that they were looking for. That's all Jalen was doing, was trying to find Devonta down the field. It was so ridiculous to miss perfectly good passes, wide open touchdowns even, to A.J. Brown. It was disrespectful in many ways, in my opinion. But
A.J. Brown is one of those elite receivers that's not going to get any respect until he gets on another team.
I agree. Come on over to Green Bay. But we do need to
move
on to
the Dolphins.
Hey, you know what? He actually might look good over there. But we do need to move on fairly quickly into our Sunday games. Probably should glaze to most of these games and just highlight a couple of the key ones for everybody. Because, I mean, I think a lot of people probably were surprised more so by the Panthers and the Rams. That is the game that I really want to quickly but somewhat get into.
You were surprised, sir. I was not.
I actually – everything said that shouldn't have happened. And let's be clear, that was a huge win for Carolina, but it was not an easy win. Matthew Stafford is the reason, in my opinion, that the Rams lost. Blake Corum
did his
job.
They weren't supposed to have an easy win, but they were definitely supposed to have the win.
I don't know that I can agree with you on that. The only thing that I will say in defense of that is Bryce Young was given the chance to do what he needed to do, and he took advantage of it. And I think that's really what it boiled down to, was that he was given the chances. Coach had faith in him, you know, said, hey, keep doing your thing. But, I mean, Rico Dowdle had himself a decent game. Chuba Hubbard actually had one of his better games of the year now. But, I mean, it came.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Down to the fact that Coker, McMillan, and Hubbard, all three got receiving touchdowns. They all contributed in the game. The ball was spread around really well. Bryce Young he took advantage of a lot of his targets, a lot of his receivers, and he targeted all of them. It was just a well-rounded game, but the reason that they won that game was because of the Rams. The Rams dropped that game. The running game was on point. Phenomenal game by Blake Corman. Matthew Stafford, 18 to 28, 243 yards, two touchdowns, but he threw two interceptions. that is, it was destined to happen. You can't go forever without throwing an interception. But he threw two. And that is
what... Like I said, the Rams were bound to fall specifically because they're flying a little bit too high. I'm waiting for the Seahawks. I'm waiting for the Seahawks to fall. I'm waiting for these teams to actually take their losses because they're going to have to.
The Seahawks have.
No, I don't think they've had that embarrassing loss yet.
Oh, sir. It was, 2 weeks ago that they, Sam Darnold threw four interceptions. They lost. Let me look. Yeah. It was to the Rams, ironically. It was a close game.
Once again, that wasn't an embarrassing game, though.
Because honestly, it's an embarrassment mostly because Sam Darnold literally sold that game. He sold that game to the Rams.
It's not embarrassment because of the team that they were going against. The Rams should be embarrassed specifically because they just lost to a team that, regardless of what anybody says, are not as good as them. They're just not. The Panthers are not as good as the Rams, and the Rams shouldn't have dropped that game. But I knew they were going to drop that game because every team has that hard fall. And regardless of if it stays that way, depends on what type of drive the team has. But they were always going to take at least one big embarrassing game. And the Seahawks haven't done that yet.
Okay.
But I think they will. And when I'm looking at this game, I mean, Bryce Young did what he was supposed to do. Everybody performed the way that they needed to make sure everything happened the way that it needed to happen. And
the Panthers are a sneaky team for the playoffs, for sure. They're probably going to get in there. I see it coming.
Yeah, but they're not going to sustain anything, though. It's that even if they do make it,
I hope they do.
They're not gonna sustain anything, though. It's just because the teams that'll be in there, they'll be gunning for blood, and they'll be rightfully so. Honestly, every team that'll be fighting for a chance in the playoffs and or actually in the playoffs this year, I think they'll all deserve it. I mean, if we're looking at the runner-ups and the number one seeds, we're looking at all the teams that deserve to actually be there because they've actually put fight into all of these games. And I don't think we'll see any drop from any of them. But the Panthers, if they do make it, they'll be one of those teams that, even though they performed well, they don't deserve to be there.
I don't fully agree, but I also get where you're coming from. But speaking of embarrassing losses, I want to move on to this next one and just quickly go through it because, I mean, I think it continues to back up my points. But anyway, that was the glorious beating that the 49ers put on the Cleveland Browns.
I knew you were going to do that, but let's be clear. That game was not vindictive of any of your points. It doesn't prove any of your
points. What's the excuses? What's the excuses though?
I'm not giving any excuses. The Browns are still the Browns. Shador's still Shador. And, Shador wasn't the exact problem in that game. Yes, there were some overthrows. Yes, there were some misplays. But altogether, Shador didn't do... Like, if we were talking about a different quarterback other than Shador, you wouldn't have these comments, questions, or concerns.
I don't know about that. But Shador...
I'm almost positive you wouldn't have... You wouldn't
have drama coming into the year. But 26
to 8... He had the drama because people were putting it on him. He didn't create the drama.
26-8... The 49ers won. I'll give him this. Brock Purdy didn't really outperform him. But the difference is the Browns as a total sucked. The Browns are the Browns, as you said. And
like I said, the Browns are the Browns. It's not vindictive of what Shador Sanders is capable of. And the 49ers, if they didn't win this game, there was an issue. Really. So I'm not saying that the Browns are supposed to win everything because Shador's there. But let's be clear, people are going to start putting some respect on Shador Sanders' name because these numbers that he put up in this game, even though they lost, they look very similar to what Brock Purdy did, actually. They look eerily similar. So if we're talking about
the team sucked.
The rest of the team sucked. I mean, we're talking about the Browns here. We're not talking about Super Bowl team. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. They haven't actually done anything in years. But when we're talking about the players on the team and who has the potential to do something on another team, Jador Sanders is at the top of my list, sir. And he's not going to drop. He's just not.
All right, well, I want to bounce into the next one here. This was a big divisional matchup, the Texans and the Colts. And by golly, did the Texans, win this game.
The Texans
took the dub, and C.J. Stroud was horrendous. The man had zero touchdowns. He threw an interception. If it wasn't for Nico Collins and Nick Chubb, this would not have been a win for them. So kudos to them. There's nothing to even really say. It wasn't great. Fairbairn did his job too to help him out, but yeah, the Colts were just poor. They didn't get anything going offensively. Daniel Jones had two touchdowns, but Jonathan Taylor was not his normal self. Didn't get in the end zone. You could tell there were some things amiss. It wasn't even like he got sacked, but one time, you know, he just, nothing happened. And I think that some of this is just, he's not, Daniel Jones is doing what Daniel Jones did every single time. He could not stay consistent. Because let's be honest, the way that he played is reflective of his time almost really with the Giants. He had his sparks, and there for that first half of the year, dominant. But, yeah. All right, y'all. Will will be back in a moment. He is currently experiencing some technical issues. So in the meantime, I will continue on with my opinions. Daniel Jones is very reflective, in my opinion, of some of his time with the Giants. He had his great moments. He had his less than great moments. So I'm not going to sit here and I wouldn't put money that they're on the downfall, but I think it's definitely getting close. So from that standpoint, I don't think there's much else to say. They dropped it to the Texans. C.J. Stroud came back, did not have a great performance. So we're going to move along out of this game. We're going to see if he can get back in here into the studio here in just a second and see what happens. If he can't, then we'll go ahead and call it a night on this episode, and we'll move along later. But I want to just talk about a couple of other things. Well, as I was just saying while you were down, probably we'll wind up getting ready to kind of get through this episode and call it for the night. We have a lot more games to cover, but we're running out of time. I know you're experiencing some technical issues over there. I just wrapped up with the Colts and the Texans by saying that this is reflective of his time in New York when he had his great moments followed by his bad moments. You know, C.J. Stroud came back off the injury. Boom, had himself a game of nothing. Threw for a lot of yards, but no touchdowns and an interception. So, I think...
I can agree with you. The Daniel Jones, like I said, the Colts were bound to have a fall as well. They were riding way too high at the beginning of the year. So, it's time to get a little bit of humble pie.
Agreed. Well, sir, I think on this note, we can save the rest of these games for our next episode. It is getting a little bit late, and we have a lot of games left to go. There's a lot of good content in these games, by the way, y'all, but we do have a bit of a limit on time sometimes, so definitely can't wait to get into these next time. Do you have any other final thoughts on any of these games that we've discussed?
No. Go Shedeur Sanders. I'm not going to say go Browns, but... go Shedeur. And honestly, these Thanksgiving games, while I lost I lost significantly on my touchdowns. I didn't lose any money for the weekend. So all in all, epic lineup for this weekend. Indeed. And we're definitely going to finish getting into all of those games.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to get into it. But time is short and time is money. So we'll move on to the next things. Just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in yet again and listening to us talk and discuss our thoughts and opinions on all the games that we love. I know we've been on a bit of a football tear lately, but let's be honest, football is the biggest thing right now. We got the college playoffs coming up right around the corner. That's going to be a fun thing for us to highlight. Hopefully we can get some live recordings in different locations here soon. I just think that would be a fun time to talk about some of these college football playoff games and maybe even when we get to the NFL playoffs, who knows. But we do have some big things coming as well for the show. We're not going to disclose it quite yet. We're going to tease it just a little bit longer. But big, big, big things are coming. Continue to follow, like, share, subscribe, comment, etc. All the good things. You may see our videos popping up on YouTube, on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. They go up a little bit of everywhere. Engage with us. Tell us what you think. But yeah, that's really all I've got on it tonight. Any final thoughts from you, man?
No, sir. With that being said, let's get back to the bread, man.
See ya.
Peace.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.